Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today, of course, we're going to be going through Tesla's Q2 earnings report. We are starting this live stream a little bit before market close, so if you are tuning in after the live stream, check the timestamps down below to fast forward to when the actual earnings come out. Of course, when the earnings come out, we'll take a look at the shareholder letter, go through the financials as we always do, and looking forward to spending some time again with everybody here today. So right now, not the best day for Tesla so far, down about 1.5% going into close, but of course, not super important because the majority of the movement today will probably happen after we get the earnings report, which should be in about 10-15 minutes or so. So I figured we could just start the stream now, go through a little bit about what analysts are expecting. Let me turn the volume down just slightly here. Go through a little bit about analyst expectations, some of my expectations before we get the letter and review that. So we'll be constantly refreshing this page here in a little bit, but for now we've got some time. So I'll flip over, we'll just take a look at that quick, and then of course, if anyone does have questions, I know we've, you know, with the less frequent check-ins, I'm sure people are curious on some of my thoughts on some things, so any prompts there for things you want me to talk about, definitely appreciated. All right, so let's flip over to Excel quick, just run through what analysts are expecting here. Oh no, I messed up my framing. All right, well, we'll flip over here. I'll fix that in a little bit. okay, let's see. So this quarter, I think well ahead of most people's expectations for deliveries, so already off to a pretty good start. In terms of the delivery number, we also had production that was much lower than deliveries. Whenever we do have a situation like that, that's going to be helpful for free cash flow. We saw the inverse last quarter, so just as a quick reminder, last quarter free cash flow was negative $2.5 billion. This quarter, analysts are expecting a couple billion dollars of positive free cash flow. You see the volatility there just because when you have more vehicles that are produced than being delivered, that's going to obviously cause cash outflow versus the opposite situation this quarter where you're selling more than you produced, which is cash beneficial. So this quarter, 444,000 deliveries. I'd have to pull up production again, but I think about 30,000 vehicles less or so. So Tesla obviously scaling back production a little bit in accordance with demand is kind of my opinion on that, which is obviously the prudent thing to do. That being said, when you do have less production, if you held everything else equal for the quarter, deliveries, everything else, all the same, obviously you're going to generate a little bit less economies of scale off of that production, and that's going to hurt your gross margin a little bit. To what degree? I mean, nobody outside of Tesla is going to be able to know that with any certainty, but it is going to have just a little bit of an impact on the gross margin line. The other thing to keep an eye on this quarter, Tesla in their 10Q after the first quarter did note that because of the staff reductions that they had in April, which of course we had talked about around that earnings report, they do expect to recognize $350 million of costs relating to those expenses this quarter. That is something that will likely come in this restructuring and other line. Usually we see the Bitcoin adjustments there, or historically we did. Some of the volatility around that. That's mostly through by now because Tesla has reduced their position, and also because it's, you know, Bitcoin is carried. The carrying value of it is at the low, which we haven't seen Bitcoin at a low for a long time. So usually that's been coming in at zero, as you can see here for the last few quarters. We will, though, see most likely on this line, unless Tesla puts it somewhere else, and it could be a combination of lines too, but that $350 million or so, probably a little bit more than that, should come in on that line. As you can see, that happens above the operating income and expenses line. So that would lower operating margins if it does fall in that slot. And of course, all the lines below that, so net income, GAAP earnings per share, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, looking at analyst expectations, about $25 billion in sales, up pretty healthily from Q1, of course, with the 15% increase or so in deliveries. We'll take a look at how average selling prices change quarter over quarter. In Q1, we saw those hold steady. Cybertruck, I think, starting to contribute a bit to help out those lines, which is nice to see as that volume scales up. And I think Tesla has done a better job of holding prices a little bit steadier after the sequential declines we saw for so many quarters in a row. For Q2, I'd expect, you know, this to be pretty similar, maybe even a bit of an increase here, just based on some of the pricing or lack of pricing adjustments that we saw towards the end of the quarter. Tesla seeming to do a little bit more with financing and special lease offerings and things like that around the end of the quarter. So hopefully that'll hold, but we'll see when that comes out. Mix can obviously affect that stuff too. Gross profit, analysts expecting about $4.4 billion. Again, back up above Q1's $3.7 billion. pretty close to last year's total for Q2 of $4.5 billion in gross profit. Gross margin, expecting that to be pretty flat, analysts are. We've seen it kind of hold pretty steady here for the last few quarters. Again, when you have a little bit less production, that's going to hurt your gross margin, but obviously more deliveries, that's going to help your gross margin. So I'm hopeful that it would come in above this level, but we'll obviously find out here pretty soon. Operating margin percent, so expecting that to bounce back a little bit from the second quarter, or sorry, from the first quarter, up to about 7.6%. Still a little bit below last year, but pretty in line with where Tesla's been sort of trending for the last few quarters. And then non-GAAP earnings per share, so that's the number that everyone is going to look at as sort of the analyst consensus. Of course, as we always talk about, there's a lot of things that go into these forecasts, so the bottom line, not necessarily all that, or at least not the most important figure all the time. But they're expecting 62 cents non-GAAP, take out stock-based compensation to get your GAAP number, and that comes down to about 50 cents with the roughly 3.5 billion shares that Tesla has outstanding. I think that's the right share count. I'd have to go back. I'm always adjusting the significant figures there. So, and then free cash flow we talked about, right around 2 billion. So kind of closer to Tesla's peaks, again, driven by the over deliveries compared to production. All right, we've got about 3 minutes here till market close, and then we'll start our refreshing. But I see some nice comments here, so appreciate it. Hopefully the sound is working okay. Someone said the sound and videos are missing. All right, just want to read through some of these chats here. It's always, you know, it's always a little bit nerve-wracking when I start these live streams again after not doing them for so long, making sure everything's going okay. Looks like everything is. So again, if you have any questions about things you want me to talk about, let me know. Obviously it's been a lot going on in the broader world outside of Tesla, but a busy quarter for Tesla as well. Sound 5x5. I don't know what that means. All right. Well, hopefully everything is going okay. But yeah, so FSD version 12.5, I have not had a chance to test that yet. My car is parked in a parking garage, so I never have any cellular service to it unless I'm actually out driving it. So I never know if I get an update. I have read that this is only for Hardware 4 model wise. I think Elon posted that on X either last night or today. So I haven't confirmed that personally. I would have to double check it. But if that's the case, I do not have that. I haven't got a Model 3 2021. So wouldn't be getting 12.5, but it sounds like the initial feedback is pretty strong. For me, 12.4 has not been great. It's seems like a little bit of a step back from 12.3.6, which I thought was fantastic. I think I've shared my thoughts on that on X, and I think we probably talked about it at the last earnings call. But that being said, hopefully, at least it sounds like initially, 12.5 is probably more of what 12.4 was hopefully supposed to be, and I think is coming out now sooner than what we would have expected if 12.4 was kind of what we had expected initially. So hopefully we can just kind of write off 12.4, which it seems like kind of what Tesla is doing, move on to 12.5 and hope to see continued progress with FSD. Because again, 12.3.6 has just been an insanely massive step forward. 12.4, to me at least, probably a little bit of a step back. Hopefully we can continue those steps forward again with 12.5. Let's see. Are you still long Tesla? Yes, still in Tesla. Nothing that's changed there. If that changes, I'll let you guys know. But yeah, still definitely invested in Tesla. All right, let me try and fix this window here stuff, or this window stuff here. I think I have to go back into the scene to actually fix that, so bear with me. It's gonna be a little bit annoying here. I always get this set up so perfectly, and then it's so difficult to get it back. But that actually went pretty well. Awesome. Okay, so let's see. Stock is down just a little bit more. It looks like we are now closed at $246.38, down 2% in the day. NASDAQ fell off throughout the day, it looks like. Certainly in a close here, you can see quite a bit of a drop there. So no surprise for Tesla to drop a little bit too towards the end of the day. Kind of see those curves being the same. But otherwise, definitely an underperformance on the day-to-day. All right, so let's see. This framing is still slightly off. Do I risk fixing it? Yes. All right, we'll begin our refreshing process. The last few quarters, I feel like my first sign that something has been released is usually this after hours trading session. So we'll keep an eye on that too. Sometimes I have the Twitter feed or the X feed for Tesla up. It can be a little bit of a risky refresh because you never know what's going to pop up there. But sometimes people will post when their earnings report is out as well. I did figure out the hotkeys for clearing my cache, so I know sometimes that'll make it not appear too. So hopefully we're all set up here to get the report. Energy, I just saw someone mention energy. Super excited about energy. As we've talked about before, it can be a little bit, I don't know, batchy from quarter to quarter, depending on when deliveries or projects, I guess, are really like commissioned and started to be recognized. So it doesn't necessarily track with like production or how we might think of deliveries normally. So to see such a big spike means next quarter, we shouldn't expect like a similar growth rate, obviously. Hopefully we'll kind of continue to see things around this like 9 gigawatt hour plus level and continue to see growth. But just keep that in mind. Last quarter we had for Q1 versus Q4, the growth was pretty small. So just keep that in mind, some of the volatility around that number just based on when projects happen or when they're recognized. All right, not much movement after hours yet. Move yourself a little to the left, Rob. I feel like I'm pretty centered. I don't know. I move around a little bit, so I'm going to have to drink water, too, because we're probably going to be going here for a while. And then, of course, forgot to mention this, but I'll do my earnings call, normal stuff, where we're doing sort of a little bit of a transcribing process during the call, and then I'll share my thoughts afterward, of course, as well. So in terms of other expectations, I know in the first quarter, let me just open this up here quickly. I think there was a lot of positive reaction to sort of the outlook section. If I can just pull that up again, this is not the current earnings report yet. We're still waiting on that. But remember they have, or in the first quarter deck, they started to say that they've updated the future vehicle lineup to accelerate the launch of new models. I think they said towards the end of this year. I'd have to go back and look, read that more carefully when I've got some more time. But that obviously played into the positive reaction after the first quarter earnings report. And, you know, the last month or so, we've had a nice month. Tesla up 35% in the last month, which is always fun to see. So expectations could be a little bit higher going into this report than they were for last quarter. All right, down 2%. Looks like something might be out here. We'll see. Maybe just a fake. Someone's saying it's out, but I'm not seeing it yet. Let me see if I can just change the link here. Sometimes that does it. All right, there we go. That did it. So we do have the report. It is now out. So we're going to read through it, but let's just go through and see some of the highlights, because initially the market is, of course, going to be reacting to these two numbers. So 42 cents GAAP earnings per share, 52 cents non-GAAP earnings per share. If we just compare that to analyst expectations, those were at 62 cents non-GAAP and 50 cents GAAP. So about 8 cents short there. We'll see, that would actually be right about the same number that the $350 million of expected sort of restructuring costs would be. I don't know how well analysts factored that in, so we'll see how big of a factor that is. But initially, it looks like a little bit soft there. Revenue is coming in actually a little bit higher than analyst expectations. GAAP gross margin also a little bit higher. We'll see. Maybe that's driven by regulatory credits. You can see the giant jump here in energy revenue up to $3 billion, up 100% year over year. Really nice to see that. Services and other also increasing 21% year over year, and quite a big jump quarter over quarter as well. So just kind of looking at some of those. Operating margin, this looks like it was well below expectations. So again, this could be a result of just the restructuring stuff not really being accounted for in the analyst forecast. Tough to say when you're just looking at a consensus. Some people probably factored it in, some people probably didn't. So we'll take a look at that. EBITDA, I don't think we get an analyst forecast for that. So we'll just have to kind of see. And then free cash flow, $1.3 billion. So below analyst expectations, but still healthy positive. Tesla now up to $31 billion in cash. So that's a quick look at the finances. Let's then look through some of the highlights here. I didn't do this last time, so it did have such a big effect. Let's just take a quick look at the outlook section, just in case anything major changed there, as that is an important section. All right, plans for new vehicles, including more affordable models, remain on track for start of production in the first half of 2025. These vehicles will utilize aspects of our next generation platform as well as aspects of our current platforms, and will be able to be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. This approach will result in achieving less cost reduction than previously expected, but enables us to prudently grow our vehicle volumes in a more CapEx efficient manner during uncertain times. This should help us fully utilize our current expected maximum capacity of close to 3 million vehicles, enabling more than 50% growth over 2023 production before investing in new manufacturing lines. Our purpose-built robotaxi product will continue to pursue a revolutionary unboxed manufacturing strategy. So that kind of gives us a little bit of a hint there that robotaxi would come after this sort of first half 2025 window, which isn't terribly surprising, but given that the event was supposed to be in August, sounds like now maybe delayed till October, not terribly surprising that that would still be something that would happen after the second half of 2025, or at least in that period. So not too surprising there. All right, let's go back. We'll go through, just see how the stock market's reacting after a little bit of an initial period there. Looks like we're at $240 a share, so down 2.6% so far. All right, so some of the highlights: $1.6 billion operating income, GAAP operating income in the second quarter after restructuring and other charges of, there you go, $600 million. So it looks like Tesla was a little bit off with their forecast on $350 million or more. And again, if we go back to the operating margin, that's why you see a higher GAAP gross margin here than analyst expectations, and a lower operating margin, because that is where those numbers are coming in at. It's raising the OpEx here by up to $600 million to almost $3 billion versus analyst expectations for operating expenses were around $2.5 billion. So that's the biggest hit there. And again, that's fine because this is a one-time charge, hopefully. I mean, they were well off on their forecast, so hopefully nothing to come in future quarters. But that's a normal number that you would back out of earnings. Some people complain about stuff like that. You do it in both positive and negative ways. And in this case, just because it's something that shouldn't be recurring and should actually have positive effects on these operating expenses in future quarters, it is something that you'd want to back out of your forecast to be able to forecast better for future quarters. So it's not something that, you know, true investors are really going to mind too much, even though it did come in well over the forecast, which is maybe a different story. But in general, it shouldn't be something that is concerning when you're just looking at sort of the bottom line here versus analyst expectations, if that's what it's being driven by. Looks like we're recovering a little bit there in after hours. All right, so we'll come back to that, but $1.5 billion GAAP net income in the second quarter, $1.8 billion non-GAAP net income in the second quarter. Operating cash flow, $3.6 billion in free cash flow we talked about. AI infrastructure CapEx was about $600 million in the quarter. Of course, we know Tesla doing a lot of that in near Giga Texas. $3.9 billion in cash and investments in Q2, up to about $31 billion, which is great. Record energy storage deployments, 9.4 gigawatt hours. We've talked about that, but again, an amazing number for the second quarter. Optimus began performing tasks autonomously in one of our facilities. So Tesla's already talked about that. I think we may have as well. Cybertruck became the best-selling EV pickup in the United States in the second quarter, which is great. Also a little bit of a low bar and something that should be expected depending on when. That's another story, but no surprise to see Cybertruck take that slot eventually. And hopefully we start to see it compare, maybe not, you know, as the number one best-selling truck in the world. Tesla's production goals are not at that level, but one of the best-selling trucks in the world and in the United States, hopefully at some point in the future. In the second quarter, Tesla achieved record quarterly revenues despite a difficult operating environment. The energy storage business continues to grow rapidly, setting a record in Q2 of 9.4 gigawatt hours of deployments, resulting in record revenues and gross profits for the overall segment. We also saw a sequential rebound in vehicle deliveries in Q2 as overall consumer sentiment improved, and we launched attractive financing options to offset the impact of sustained high interest rates. We recognized record regulatory credit revenues in Q2 as other OEMs are still behind on meeting emissions requirements. Global EV penetration returned to growth in the second quarter and is taking share from ICE vehicles. We believe that a pure EV is the optimal vehicle design and will ultimately win over consumers as the myths on range, charging, and service are debunked. Progress continued on our AI initiatives in the second quarter. We reduced the price of FSD supervised in North America, launched free trials to everyone with the necessary hardware. These programs have demonstrated success and are laying the foundation for more meaningful FSD monetization. We expect to see an increase in FSD attach rates for our fleet as the capability improves and we increase awareness of the convenience and safety it offers users. Overall, our focus remains on company-wide cost reduction, including reducing cost of goods sold per vehicle, growing our traditional hardware business, and accelerating development of our AI-enabled products and services. Though timing of robotaxi development depends on technological advancement and regulatory approval, we are working vigorously on this opportunity given the outsized potential value. And currently, we are managing our product portfolio with a long-term orientation and focusing on growing sales, maximizing our installed base, and generating sufficient cash flow to invest in future growth. So I don't think anything too surprising in this sort of summary here. Again, probably the most unexpected thing on this page would be the $600 million in restructuring costs, which is obviously affecting things there. They do mention the regulatory credits, so we'll take a look at that. Obviously, those are something that contributes significantly to the gross profit. So usually when forecasting, I like to back that out just to see how X regulatory credit gross margin's coming in. I don't know that we're getting... Yeah, we'll be able to look at that a little bit later once we put the numbers into the spreadsheet. So something to keep an eye on there. All right, so I don't think anything else on that financial summary page that we need to look at. This is going to talk about directionality in terms of the influence of some factors on these revenue, profitability, and cash items. So revenue in the second quarter increased 2% year over year. So Tesla, as mentioned, said that was a record number in revenue, driven by growth in energy storage, Cybertruck deliveries, higher regulatory credit revenue, growth in services and other, reduced vehicle pricing outside of Cybertruck, excluding foreign exchange impact due to pricing, attractive financing options, and mix, decline in vehicle deliveries outside of Cybertruck, and negative foreign exchange impact of $300 million in the second quarter. Operating income decreased year over year, $1.6 billion in the second quarter. A lot of the same things as mentioned above, so we won't need to read all of that. But they do also mention lower cost of production ramp of 4680 cells and other related charges being a less significant impact on profitability than the previous period. Quarter end cash equivalents, so we talked about that. So driven by a positive free cash flow of $1.3 billion, inventory decrease of $1.8 billion, and partially offset by AI infrastructure capex of $600 million in the quarter. All right, so total production, we know that. Total deliveries, looks like that didn't change too much. Lease accounting, not any major difference there, as we already knew from the delivery report. Vehicle inventory days of supply, strongly declining down to 18, back in line with where Tesla had been prior to last quarter, or pretty close at least. This is something you can easily calculate once the delivery report is out, so no surprise on that. Although some people like to hype it up a little bit when we do get the earnings report. Tesla locations, looks like pretty small increase, but 20% increase year over year. Mobile service fleet actually declined by one, but still up 7% year over year. Not surprised to see the less significant quarter over quarter growth here with some of the restructuring and things that Tesla did in the second quarter. Supercharger growth continues, almost 6,500 supercharger stations now, up 23% year over year, with connectors up 24%, almost to 60,000 worldwide. All right, vehicle capacity, we'll open up here in a second. Well, we can just do that now. The first quarter deck, so again, we'll try not to get confused between the two, but just to compare how this chart looks in both. See if there are any differences other than for some reason the fonts are loading differently. Yeah, it looks like those are all the same, both in terms of capacity and status as last quarter. Make sure we close the right one. So that's the first quarter. We'll close that. All right. So in terms of the notes here, Tesla says they continue to add to their vehicle lineup globally, including the introduction of the new Model 3 and Model Y trims and additional paint options for the lineup. After a sequential decline in production in the second quarter, we expect a sequential increase in production in Q3. So that's nice to hear. The refresh Model 3 ramp continued successfully, including the introduction of Model 3 Performance in the second quarter, long-range rear-wheel drive in July. We also continue to qualify more Model 3 trims for the IRA tax credit. Cybertruck production more than tripled sequentially, and remains on track to achieve profitability by the end of the year. So two great updates there on Cybertruck. And then preparation of the semi-factory continues and is on track to begin production by end of 2025. So still quite a ways out on semi-production, but if you've been following that, it does look like they are starting to make some moves there in Nevada. So that's exciting on the semi front. In Shanghai, significantly increased deliveries in several markets supplied by Giga Shanghai in the second quarter, including South Korea. While the automotive market in China remains among the most competitive globally, we feel that our cost structure and focus on core functionality that drives value for customers, including autonomy, position us well for the long term. And then in Europe, Gigafactory Berlin began producing vehicles for right-hand drive markets and delivered its first vehicles into the United Kingdom. We also began delivering vehicles in Qatar while increasing deliveries to Israel and Taiwan. Our regional production strategy provides flexibility as needs change across markets. Market share of Tesla vehicles by region, so you can see, had started to see a little bit of a decline. Still continuing to see that a little bit here in Europe, and looks like a little bit in China. US and Canada looks like they've held steady here in the last quarter. All right, core technology. So nice to see this chart here. I was curious to see how this would come in. Cumulative miles driven with FSD. So you can see Tesla's done a good job of segmenting out version 12 miles in red and FSD miles previously driven in blue. So you see a very small sliver there early this year, but now over the last quarter, a huge jump after 12.3 went to wide release to FSD customers. And nice to see this. It looks like Tesla's added over 500 million, maybe 700 million or so miles on just FSD version 12 since late in the first quarter, depending on how these line up here. But anyway, in the last quarter, it looks like probably about 500 million miles on FSD, which is always nice to see that accumulation happen, and obviously very helpful for Tesla in terms of training. All right, so in the second quarter, we focused on reducing interventions with FSD while improving driving comfort. Notably, we rolled out a version of FSD Supervised that primarily relies on eye tracking software to monitor driver attentiveness. We also increased the robustness of our next-gen FSD model with substantially more parameters. Looking ahead to future autonomous driving and robotaxi service, we continued progress on software and hardware development. Optimus is performing its first task handling batteries in one of our facilities. The south extension of Gigafactory Texas is nearing completion and will house our largest cluster of H100s yet. For vehicle and other software, we continue to release software optimizations that enable an increasingly better experience for customers. The spring release included an immersive full-screen vehicle controls view when parked, large playback controls and quick access to recents, favorites, and up next in media player, and an expandable autopilot visualization with a smaller map in the top right for trip guidance. Audible is now available as a native app. Spotify cues can be synced across vehicles and devices, and playback speed can be adjusted. So that's a nice update there for some of the UI stuff for Spotify for podcasts. I don't like to listen to myself at 1x speed. Obviously for live streams you have to, but it's definitely a nice feature there for Spotify as well. Okay, so Tesla AI training capacity ramped through the end of the year. So we are now here. Tesla's forecast is here in the dotted blue. But we've talked about just how significant this training capacity has been in the last 6 months. If you go from September of 2023, so I guess sort of 9 months here, you're looking at, 4,000-ish H100 equivalents there. And now Tesla would be up to right around 40,000. So an order of magnitude increase just in the last 9 months in terms of Tesla's training capacity. And it looks like they plan to more than double that again before the end of this year. So very exciting to see. And I think Tesla just is in the very early stages of starting to be able to optimize for this massive increase in capacity. It's going to take them time to figure out how to best utilize that. So I think we're seeing a little bit of those growing pains right now with 12.4. But hopefully Tesla gets that stuff figured out and really unlocks the full value of this additional capacity. And we start to see that in the end state product with FSD here pretty soon. I think we've already seen it with 12.3.6. All right, battery powertrain and manufacturing. In the second quarter, we produced over 50% more 4680 cells than in the first quarter. So that's really nice to see. Continued to see cost improvements. In July, we entered validation of vehicle testing for our first prototype Cybertruck produced with in-house dry cathode 4680 cells, a major cost reduction milestone once ramped. Cost reduction across our product lineup remains a top priority. So I think that's a really, really positive update on 4680s. We had seen some reporting. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but there had been some reporting that Tesla had, I don't know if breakthrough is the right word, but had sort of figured out the dry battery electrode for the cathode portion. It sounded like previously they were doing it for anode, but hadn't quite figured out the cathode part yet, or had continued to have equipment break with that process. But there was reporting that Tesla had seemingly started to figure it out, and now it was more a matter of ramping that production, which kind of always is a major question. But if that reporting is to be believed, that does seem to track a little bit closely with what Tesla is saying here, especially the validation of vehicle testing for the first prototype Cybertruck with that dry cathode. So some pretty exciting things there, and I'm sure, well, we'll probably hear a little bit more about that on the call, but, you know, who knows what direction the call will go in today, especially with everything else that's going on in the world. Other highlights. Our non-automotive business is becoming an increasingly profitable part of Tesla. As energy storage products continue to ramp and our vehicle fleet continues to grow, we are expecting continued profit growth from our non-automotive business over time. So non-automotive gross profit, which you can easily get, just add up those other buckets. You can see here jumped up to what is almost $1 billion here in the second quarter. And again, almost doubling from the previous quarter. One second. All right, energy storage and generation. Megapack and Powerwall achieved record deployments in the second quarter, 9.4 gigawatt hours. Overall, energy business achieved record revenues, gross profit in the second quarter. Lathrop Megafactory continues to ramp successfully, achieving a production record in the second quarter, and the Shanghai Megafactory remains on track for start of production in the first quarter of 2025. While we expect production to continue to grow sequentially, deployments will continue to fluctuate. So that's some of the volatility that we talked about. Deployment timing depends on many factors, including project milestones and logistics timing as we deliver product globally from a single factory. Powerwall 3 rollout continued successfully and is now available in Canada, the UK, and Germany, in addition to the US. So reading between the lines there, Tesla doesn't really expect another quarter of as significant growth here in Q3 for energy. I wouldn't either. We talked about that before the call. It sounds like even maybe we could see a decline. Again, reading between the lines there, maybe a little bit too far. But if that were to be the case, it's not something to be, you know, sad or disappointed about. It's just natural volatility. You might have a huge project that comes online one quarter, and then you might work for the next three quarters on, well, hopefully not that long. But, you know, kind of understand the point there that it can just take some time and be volatile. For services and other, sequential profit growth in the services and other business was driven mostly by service center margin improvement and higher gross profit generation from collision repair. We continue to expand our supercharging network and expect to deploy more capacity this year than the rest of the industry combined in North America, with a focus on capital efficiency, congestion, and improved coverage. In an effort to increase EV penetration, we remain committed to opening the network to non-Tesla EVs and plan to onboard more OEMs in North America by the end of the year. Over time, network utilization should continue to increase, driving revenue growth and profit generation. So nothing surprising there. I mean, with all the drama with the supercharger network, I think most people have moved on from that, but obviously Tesla continuing to reiterate that that will be a growth area for them. All right, outlook, we talked about the product, but in terms of volume, our company is currently between two major growth waves. First one began with the global expansion of Model 3 and Model Y platform, and we believe the next one will be initiated by advances in autonomy and introduction of new products, including those built on our next generation vehicle platform. In 2024, our vehicle volume growth rate may be notably lower than the growth rate achieved in 2023 as our teams worked on the launch of the next generation vehicles and products. In 2024, the growth rates of energy storage deployments and revenue in our energy generation and storage business should outpace the automotive business. Yeah, I would say so. We have sufficient liquidity to fund our product roadmap. We will continue to manage the business to maintain a strong balance sheet during this uncertain period. And on profit, while we continue to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing and operations over time, we expect our hardware-related profits to be accompanied by an acceleration of AI, software, and fleet-based profits. So a lot of these are consistent with what we had heard last quarter. I don't think any major changes with any of those buckets there. For product, I think I'm remembering, again, I'd have to go back and look at the notes, but what we looked at for the first quarter outlook section, I think pretty similar here, new products for the first half of 2025. I think maybe where I'm thinking end of this year, maybe Elon had mentioned that as a possibility on the call, but I think obviously we should put more weight in this earnings report line here. All right, photos and charts. Global BEV market share. So you can see China continues to increase EV market share. The rest of the world outside of China looks like it's kind of stagnated there at about 5% for the last year or so. Obviously, with Tesla being such a major portion of the market share outside of China, this, you know, Tesla's growth rate is going to heavily influence this. Tesla's market share in China is a little bit lower. Obviously, as they said, the most competitive EV market. So it kind of makes sense that, you know, that may continue to grow. Tesla's going to have more of an influence on the growth rate here. But there are certain market things, of course, alongside that. Just want to make sure that maybe that's not immediately as apparent as some of the other points. Gigafactory Texas, so the South Expansion Data Center, looks like it's going to be a really cool part of the property there. So nice to see. The lithium refinery in Corpus Christi started production in 2025, but looks like that development continuing nicely there. Cybertruck shop. Model Y and Quicksilver with a nice little call out there of 1.99 APR financing. Lunar Silver for Model S and X. Megapacks, more than a 1 gigawatt hour project here, which we just say like it's a normal thing. 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been, but it's exciting that it is now a more normal thing. Autonomously handling battery cells. So I think Tesla posted a video, or maybe around the shareholder meeting had this in a video. And then we can see some of the charts, which we don't usually spend too much time on. And then we get into financials. So we'll go through the spreadsheet and fill in some of those more specific financials. Maybe we'll just take a quick look at regulatory credit revenue while we're here. Whew, yeah, that's significant. $890 million. So X regulatory credit revenue, which again, it's important to kind of think about how that affects gross margin because of the volatility on this line for one, and because there's no guarantee that these things will persist in the future. Obviously, regulatory environments can and will change for good or for better, for worse or for better. So I always like to just see what things are without that. And if you remove that, it's going to be a major change in terms of the gross margin, probably falling, I don't know, more in line at least, if not below what analysts had expected. And then of course, on that restructuring and other line, you got the $622 million. So it did, looks like it maybe not entirely fell, but fell on that line, but a large chunk of restructuring and other on that line, which again is going to lower your operating income and operating margins pretty significantly, as well as the bottom line, more significantly than what was expected based on what Tesla had put in the 10Q. So that actually, you know, those things work to offset a little bit of each other in terms of the bottom line. We'll kind of have to think about, you know, exactly how much that would be. It seems like it's maybe a pretty similar offset. I think maybe you'd forecast somewhere around, I don't know, $500, $600 million in regulatory credits just based on how the last few quarters have been. So you've got maybe an extra $300 million there and maybe an extra $300 million here too. So in terms of those things kind of offsetting each other a little bit for the bottom line, then it looks like the bottom line would still sort of be a miss to analyst expectations. But again, that's why the bottom lines aren't really the perfect basis for comparison, because we don't necessarily know how analysts were factoring both of those items in. And certainly across the group, there's going to be different, you know, estimates from all parties and different accounting for those things or not accounting for them. So it's just tricky. But if you say those things canceled out a little bit, then you probably are still missing analyst expectations here on the bottom line, at least a bit. All right, so let's flip over, see how the stock is doing. Looks like we've held pretty steady since the initial release at about 242 right now. Not too crazy. But again, I'm not seeing anything like nothing too surprising here. Nothing. I think last quarter we had sort of the big surprise of, hey, we're going to put new products in by the beginning of next year. We're going to try to grow our capacity up to that 3 million level from, we've basically been at about a 1.8 million level now for a while, in terms of deliveries at least. So we're not seeing any major surprises like that this quarter, which I think contributes a little bit to the muted reaction. You're not going to get something like that every quarter. And then of course the numbers coming in below analyst expectations, at least in terms of operating margins and bottom line. All right. I'll try to keep an eye here on some of the chat, see what your guys' thoughts are, and if you have any questions, hopefully that went okay. But let's flip over to Excel for the most fun part of the day, which is watching me fill in the spreadsheet. If I can flip over here, here we go. So again, bear with me. It's part of what we got to do if we want to react to this live, but hopefully this helps get us a little bit more context than what the numbers in the release do on their own. So in energy storage and generation, obviously we know that's about 9.4 gigawatt hours, but I'm just going to hop back and forth between the two here. So I don't think we actually get the significant digits of megawatt hours. Tesla just saying 9.4, so we'll just update that in the future and reduce our significant digits. For now, we'll just say 9,400. But looks like Tesla just rounding that out to gigawatt hours now, which is a nice sign. It's a new stage of growth for Tesla to change that from megawatt hours to gigawatt hours on those deployments. Energy generation, Tesla has stopped reporting. It's become quite insignificant. Unless something changes with Solar Roof, I think that it's going to continue to be this way. So, and with Tesla not reporting it anymore, that's also a sign in and of itself. Unfortunately, obviously, I think we'd all love to see that business performing better, but it's been a small part of business. I think was potential for it at one point, but it just hasn't seemed to quite click, unfortunately. So maybe that changes in the future, but for now, no reporting on that. Automotive sales. So let's just check this one. And again, bear with me. It's just going to take me a minute to get through these numbers. But for automotive sales, looks like we're at 18,530. Which is actually well below analyst expectations. I just want to make sure. Okay, so yeah. Give me a second because that's wrong. So we're actually above it because I got to include leasing. So we're at 19,878, so a little bit above, but again, with the regulatory credit contribution of 890. I think if you look X credits, we don't get that, unfortunately, with the analyst consensus. We used to. I would love for that to come back, if anyone from IR is watching. But if you take out what was probably the forecast, we'd probably fall below on automotive sales versus analyst expectations. For energy sales, though, it looks like that is going to come in above. That was just over $3 billion. So 5% or so above analyst expectations, and then services and others, 2608, which gets us to our 25,500. So if I can just spend a second on revenue, I think we're seeing above analyst expectations on automotive sales, but I think driven by regulatory credits, which I think if you exclude those, this would probably be below analyst expectations by maybe $100 or $200 million. That's then being offset, more than offset, in my opinion, by the energy sales and the services and other. You've got about a $200 million beat on services and other, about a $150 million beat on energy sales, on the energy sales line. So knowing what energy storage was going to be going in, it's nice to see that the energy revenue was a little bit higher than expected, which obviously means the ASP was a little bit higher in that bucket as well. Though again, that can be tricky to forecast for some of the reasons that we've already talked about. ASP, we'll figure that out in a little bit. We'll have to use our calculator on that one. And then automotive profit, these are not correct yet. Obviously, margins were not 100%. So I just have to enter in the costs here. Make sure we're including leasing in this one this time. Energy storage, that was 2274. So really healthy profit there. Yeah, man, $750 million profit in energy. It's awesome. Really exciting. And then services and other, 2441. Leaves us with $4.6 billion in gross profit. We'll just double check and make sure that matches, which it does. So these numbers should now be correct. And of course, we don't get a breakdown for analyst consensus on all these items, but you can see total gross profit a couple hundred million dollars above, about 4% above analyst expectations. So again, a lot of that probably coming from regulatory credits. That could easily add more than the $200 million difference here. But I think energy probably surprised, as well as services and other. This is probably a record. I don't want to unhide those because it'll mess up my formula or my view here, but potentially a record for services and other profit. Certainly for energy, no question on that one, at $740 million, up 166% year over year, which is great to see. So automotive gross profits, you can see So that's the disappointing part, right? 16.4% X credit, dropping to 14.6 X credit. As you guys know, as many of you know, this is one of the first numbers that I would look at historically when opening up an earnings report. So to see this drop by 180 basis points quarter over quarter, especially when we didn't seem to have as much pricing action. We'll take a look at the ASPs here in a second. But when we didn't seem to have quite as much pricing action, that's definitely a disappointment on the automotive gross margin X credits line. This massive, massive regulatory credit number is making things up here look quite a bit better. But when you come down here, it's like, man, that is a disappointing drop. One of the bigger drops that we have seen, even over the last few quarters. I mean, you can go back and it looks like last year, Q2 to Q3 was a similar drop. And obviously we know during this period, that was a tough period where people were, you know, very, I don't know, questioning the cost strategy, the pricing strategies and things like that. So hopefully they'll share a little bit more about this. And on the call, we may have to go back and read through. I know they mentioned it a little bit in the shareholder letter, but that is a pretty significant drop there in auto gross margin X credits, which is definitely noteworthy. Energy gross margin, let me check my formulas, but looks like that's the same. Yeah, so they are different, but rounding out to the same, 24.6% for energy gross margin, so holding a steady quarter over quarter, but obviously on, you know, double the revenue almost of the first quarter. All right, so total gross margin, again, coming in above expectation. I think energy profits and service and others helping. When you have a beat on the energy line, because this is now at a higher gross profit margin than auto by a pretty significant amount, that's going to help pull your total up too, as that's a larger percentage of the mix. We've talked about that before. And then sort of conversely, when you have services and other, if that's a higher portion of the revenue, then that's going to pull the margins down, but still at a healthier level than it was in the first quarter. So anyway, mixing out at 18%, but again, most of that probably driven by this regulatory credit number being higher than expected. All right, R&D, let's check that out quick. It was 1074. So nothing too surprising there. That's held pretty consistently around a billion for the last few quarters. SG&A, it's 1277. Uh-oh. What just happened there? Oh, this is a different sheet. All right, we're back. That was my last quarter sheet. Okay. Reorientate myself here. So SG&A, about $1.3 billion. Not too different from last quarter. Up 7% year over year, so nothing crazy. But then we did have this $622 million charge here on restructuring, which is going to be obviously a major hit on the operating margin. So you can see OPEX right around $3 billion, just below. Let's just double check that to make sure that that number is correct. Operating expenses, $2,973. Yep, so that's correct. Operating income, $1,605, also correct. So operating margin falling below, again, driven significantly by that, I would say, roughly $250 million higher number than what was expected from the 10Q, which, again, you can see Tesla's words down here. Expect to recognize in excess of $350 million in costs in the second quarter. That's a significant difference. It would be nice if Tesla said something about that and why it was such a higher number. I mean, this is definitely in excess. But when you're being as specific as $350 million, certainly you'd expect something that's between 350 and 400, not 622. So definitely an overrun on that. Looks like maybe something just was not anticipated in terms of those restructuring costs. For EBITDA, let's see what that came in at. One second. So that's 3674. Again, no analyst forecast on that one, but pretty similar to the levels we've been seeing. GAAP net income, or non-GAAP, was 1842. So obviously we knew this from the earnings per share numbers, but falling below expectations. I would say these things kind of washed out, again, regulatory credits and the restructuring overrun when we're talking about some of these bottom lines. So I think ultimately this just automotive gross margin number is causing, you know, if you say these two buckets washed out with the restructuring and the regulatory credits, if you kind of say those cancel on the bottom line, which I think would be a relatively fair statement, then what is really ultimately causing this miss on, people are going to criticize me because it's like, did they miss? We've talked about that a lot. Everyone has an expectation. It's just a way. It doesn't mean it's like the end of the world or anything, but if there's an expectation, stock prices are based on future expectations. It's fair to say that, you know, companies, if numbers come in below those expectations, it's fair to say they missed expectations. Again, doesn't mean anything is wrong with the company or that the company is bad or something like that. It's just stock prices are based off future expectations. So you have to put things in those terms. But sorry for the sidetrack. I think the missed expectations here, primarily being driven by this automotive gross margin X credit number coming in lower, I think analysts were probably expecting that to be relatively stable quarter over quarter, just based off of this total gross margin number. I mean, maybe they're expecting a little bit of a decline. Depends how much they were factoring in that. Well, I guess this wouldn't be in that yet, but with these margins forecasts or expectations holding similar to the last quarter, I certainly think this number is lower than expected. And had I done a forecast, honestly, probably would have been for me too, based on what we had talked about before the call or before the report came out, which was that the pricing actions that they took towards the end of the second quarter didn't seem to be as significant as what we had seen historically. But again, there can be so many different factors that drive that. So it's, hopefully we get a little bit more information on that during the call. All right, stock-based compensation. So let's just get that quick. So that was 439. So that's going to offset a little bit of some of that restructuring stuff when we're talking about this bottom line number. You can see that's the lowest of any quarter in the last, you know, five quarters. Not super significantly, but with the restructuring, it makes sense that would be a little bit lower. And as we had talked about, the restructuring is going to be a one-time hit going forward. I mean, maybe there'll be some stuff that flows in the third quarter a little bit, but going forward, most of that stuff should be done and accounted for. And then going forward, then you should have savings both in your operations and through things like stock-based compensation, stuff like that. So Tesla ultimately expects that to be a positive profitability move, of course. Otherwise, wouldn't make a lot of sense to do it. But in the quarter that happens, it's not going to be the case. And then for the bottom line, again, we've talked plenty about this and the factors driving it, but just to get those in there for the sake of completeness, we had 46 cents non-GAAP, let's make sure. That's basic versus diluted. Let me just get the right number here. All right, 42 cents GAAP. We can calculate the PE here as well. That's not the period. And 52 cents non-GAAP. Free cash flow of 1342. All right, we're through the number. Well, we got to do ASP still. Almost through the numbers. But let's just see. I feel like I had another point on that, but maybe not. Oh yeah, PE. So I'll do it now so I don't forget later. You can see right now the last, well, so Q4 last year, oh, that's analyst consensus. I don't want that. Q4 last year was actually $2.27 GAAP earnings per share, but that was driven by a one-time tax benefit. So not really fair to include that in the PE, but it is something that will, if you're looking at Yahoo Finance, Google Finance, whatever you're looking at, they're going to include that. So we're at $3.56 earnings per share, including that over the last 12 months. If we're at 241 or whatever we're at now, divided by 356, our price to earnings on any of these sites is going to show as 68 times right now. But what it really is, I mean, brace yourselves because it's going to be quite a bit lower here. The real PE should be $1.86 right now if we're talking GAAP. So because again, you had that one-time tax benefit. So $1.86, you're looking at more like 130 times earnings if we're looking at the actual PE. So it's obviously a high number, obviously accounts for a lot of future growth. I think the market, you know, giving credit to Tesla for the growth that they've had historically, they feel like that can come back again when Tesla gets to a next generation of products with artificial intelligence and some of the leverage that is possible there in terms of margins. There's certainly plenty of good reasons to believe that, but obviously it is a high price earning share ratio right now. So important to keep that in mind, important to understand what it really is, not just look at the 68. It really is closer to 130. No one really looks at non-GAAP PEs, I don't think, as much. I mean, you definitely can. If you look at a non-GAAP, it's just not what you're seeing on all these sites as much. But if you're looking at non-GAAP price earnings, that would be $2.34, so 103 times on a non-GAAP basis. But again, most of the time people are talking GAAP if they're talking about price earnings ratios. All right, and then average selling prices. So this is definitely a curiosity now that we've seen the gross margins fall. So the ex-credit gross margins fall on automotive. So let's calculate this. We're going to need a few numbers here. So auto revenue from leasing. Let me just grab that quick, and this should calc for us. Automotive revenue from leasing was... make sure I don't grab cost on accident. Should be 458. COGS from leasing should be 245. And then the deliveries released, or deliveries leased, that should be somewhere in the 10,000 range. Let's find that again. All right, 10,227. Yeah, so you can see there, we'll go back up here, but $700 drop in ASP, so not anything super crazy, I guess, but then you also pair that with a small increase, about $100, you know, $80 per vehicle of cost increase. This could be related to what we had talked about with actually lower production in the second quarter versus the first quarter. I don't have the production numbers as well memorized, and we don't have them on the sheet here, but I'll just check that quickly. So in the first quarter, production was 433,000 vehicles versus this quarter, obviously 411,000. As we had talked about, when you have lower production, even if you've got higher deliveries, there's always a lot of different factors influencing the accounting and how it all flows through. So, you know, higher deliveries is going to help gross margins. Lower production is going to hurt gross margin, whether that washed out in positive or negative. Maybe Tesla's mentioned in the profitability section, but, you know, there are going to be those factors. So that is something that maybe contributed a little bit. I'm on the wrong sheet again. I just got to close this one. Okay. So small increase in cost of goods sold, still down year over year. And then average selling prices, again, down about $700, $800 or so from last quarter, and down $3,000, $3,200 from Q2 last year. So I would have hoped that held up a little bit better, but basically you're talking, you know, $700 of profit per vehicle there that you had in the first quarter that you now don't have in the second quarter. Obviously the scale is, you know, still increasing and making these numbers better than the second quarter, the first quarter. Sorry if I keep saying the second quarter for Q1, but you know, with the increase in deliveries being so massive, 15% higher, if you're just talking raw dollars, obviously that's still generating more money, more bottom line profit for Tesla than it did in the first quarter. But obviously the first quarter, a tougher quarter for Tesla relative to historics. All right, I think we did it. not too bad. Again, nothing too crazy this quarter. I think for me, probably one of the biggest takeaways would again be this automotive gross margin X credits. We've talked about it. I don't want to labor on it, but that is a pretty significant drop quarter over quarter. Hopefully that can be something that Tesla has a little bit more information for us on the call. And I think in past calls, though, Tesla has noted that this cost of goods sold piece... Oh, and one thing I need to mention here that I didn't, but Tesla has noted that this cost of goods sold piece per vehicle, it's not like there's huge unlocks here every quarter. Elon has talked about this many, many times. It's a sort of like battle of pennies. You're just trying to find a penny here, a penny there, across 10,000 different parts on each vehicle to be able to lower these costs. And Tesla's been doing that for many years now. So when you have these things like a Model 3 refresh, that's going to give you an opportunity to maybe do some more of those things. It's going to take some time for all those things to flow through to the actual financials. So that's going to, you know, have a temporary increase as you're getting through that ramping up period, as we know so well from Tesla's history. But again, with the Model 3 and the Model Y, we're kind of where we're going to be, right? We're kind of already at the, maybe not the absolute peak, but we're not seeing any huge growth in these businesses going forward. We're probably not going to see any huge cost declines in these businesses going forward either, absent changes in the underlying cost of the actual materials, like, you know, battery costs and things like that. But we're many years into the development cycle. There's going to be times where there's something like a refresh where this changes a little bit, but otherwise we're getting close to the end of that. So as I've been saying for a while, I think we're kind of just in a waiting period until we kind of get to that next generation of products, whether that's coming from FSD or whether that's coming from new hardware in terms of vehicles, or we're just kind of waiting around for energy to just become a bigger and bigger piece of it. Again, there are plenty of things to be excited about for the future. I'm not saying this in a way that's like trying to be down on the company or anything like that. It's just important to recognize these things so that we understand what's happening, rather than just trying to pretend like, yeah, next quarter we're going to see $30,000 average cost per vehicle. It's just not going to be the case. And Tesla has told us this much. So it's just important to listen to those things, recognize those things, understand what's actually happening with the business so that we can, you know, respond accordingly from an investor perspective. So for me, that just means holding my stock for the next, you know, however many years. But obviously, everyone's got different time horizons, risk tolerance, all sorts of things. And again, just the battle of going through holding a stock. Like, one of the reasons Tesla Daily was Tesla Daily is because you are making a decision every day. Whether you're doing nothing, that's still a decision. Holding a stock is still a decision. So you got to make that decision every single day. And to do that, it's important to understand the, you know, the facts of what's going on with the business. So hopefully that's helpful. And again, plenty of things to be excited about in the future that aren't going to show on a spreadsheet like this. So yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention on both average selling price, which is a negative here, and the average cost of goods sold, which is something that's positive in terms of how these numbers are coming through, is the Cybertruck. As that becomes a bigger part of the mix, because it is such a high cost, I mean, Tesla said it there, right? They're still hoping for it to be profitable by the end of the year, which is, that's great. Hopefully it gets there, and that'll be nice when it does. But that means that basically the cost of goods sold on a Cybertruck right now are like $100,000, right? It's very, very high. Because that's what the average selling price is. So if you're not making any profit, then those would be equivalent. So right now it's actually probably above $100,000 in terms of the average cost on a Cybertruck. When you throw that into the mix, that's definitely going to be something that raises this, especially as Cybertruck production grows, becomes a bigger portion of the total, which I assume it would be this quarter since production, they said, tripled quarter over quarter. So that's going to pull cost of goods sold up. You might have actually even seen cost of goods sold decline. Maybe Tesla said this in the letter. Usually they're talking year over year there, but you might have even actually seen cost of goods sold excluding Cybertruck decline a little bit quarter over quarter. But while that's a positive on the cost of goods sold line in terms of how to interpret it, it's a negative on the average selling price line, because if you take out Cybertruck, it should be also having that same lifting effect on average selling price here, because again, $110,000 ticket or whatever it is at. That's going to raise ASP as it becomes a bigger part of the mix. It's going to have an even stronger effect. So if you take Cybertruck out, if you exclude Cybertruck, you're probably seeing a bigger than an $800 drop here, $750 or whatever, in the average selling price on the other vehicles this quarter, which is, again, something that would be disappointing in terms of just the sort of the strength of, or the health of that line of business. So we'll see next quarter. Hopefully, you know, hopefully these impacts keep growing, which, you know, as Cybertruck grows, until it's profitable, and until it's profitable as the other vehicles are, that will lower gross margins. But hopefully it's something that can help average selling prices stay a little bit higher. And then as Tesla gets the cost down, hopefully, you know, they get to this 15%, 20% gross margins, for the Cybertruck, and it can be something that is margin accretive, both from a percentage perspective and from a dollars perspective. Obviously the latter there is a lower bar. All right, we're almost 4 o'clock central here, so we've got about 30 minutes till the earnings call. Again, I'll be doing a live stream for that. The link for that is in the description. I think it'll take you right there after this, but hope to see everybody on that. I'm gonna go back and look. I did see some super chats, so I really appreciate those. And just wanna make sure that any questions here, you know, we'll have more time after earnings to talk as well, but anything that's maybe particularly relevant at the moment, I'll try to take a look at here. So I'll show some of these here. Carlton, thank you. I appreciate that. Michael, appreciate it. Truth to a T, appreciate that. I miss doing it too. Like I said, I've said it all. You guys can go watch the video, but it is nice to be back. Warbird, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Thanks for everything. Elon was correct with Model Y prediction becoming most popular. Thoughts on his prediction regarding energy and semi as big as he says? Will those be the next leg up? Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very excited about both those business lines. I'm not sure what specific comments you're talking about in terms of as big as Elon said. I know he's always said the energy business would probably grow faster than the auto business. Tesla said that again in the shareholder letter. It's not hard when the auto business isn't really growing right now, obviously. But still, nice to see. Even if auto was growing at 50% or whatever, energy would still be well outpacing it right now. Just really dominant growth in that business. And hopefully that continues for quite a while here with Lathrop ramping up and with Megafactory Shanghai starting in Q1 next year. That's hopefully, like we saw with Giga Shanghai, that's something that can really, really come online fast and start contributing. We're already seeing huge numbers in energy, $3 billion in revenue this quarter. I mean, that's $12 billion annualized. Not fair to annualize it because of the volatility, but if you did that, you know, that's a huge business. We wouldn't have to go back that far. Well, we'd have to go back a little bit, but there were plenty of time in Tesla's history where the auto business wasn't a $12 billion business. And probably at that time, I don't know if it would be growing as fast as energy is growing now. So this is a real significant business and profitable, 25% gross profit. When you get to leverage the fixed costs of the automotive business, it's a really, really, really healthy business within Tesla right now. So very excited about energy. Seems like we've got a long way to go on it. And yeah, it's a great business, positive contribution to the world for so many different reasons. Very excited about energy. Semi, all those same things, you know, all those exact same comments, other than we're, you know, very, very early on in terms of the product life cycle right now. But every product is at that stage at some point. And I think what we've seen with the early stage of the semi, there's no reason to believe that this isn't something that can be a fundamentally game-changing product. It's not something that you need to rely on like consumer sentiment, because it's just a matter of reducing costs, right? If this product helps logistic supply companies, whatever, reduce costs, they're going to buy it. Why would they not? It's just free money. Most people like free money, regardless of, you know, other concerns. So, to an extent, but it's generally a positive thing. So, very excited about the semi. Obviously, it's going to take some time, but yeah, very excited. John, thank you as always. Appreciate that. Fujio, thank you. Rex, thank you. Good to see you on here. Tesla need to advertise to build demand and preserve ASP. I would like to see more of it. I've shared my thoughts on that plenty. You know, seems like we're still in the testing phase. They even call out in the shareholder letter, they're like, as these beliefs about charging and whatever diminish, it's like, well, let's try to accelerate that a little bit. If labor is part of COGS and affects margins, could a 3-month severance package for the greater than 10% of workforce that was laid off drag down the margins? Yes. So that's where I just don't know accounting wise how Tesla is sort of doing all of it, right? I assume that most of the costs are falling into that one-time item line, but there are going to be costs associated with things that just get allocated somewhere else, right? So it's really difficult to know. The essence of the question is like, are the automotive gross margin X credit gross margin, sorry, are the automotive gross margins X credits being reduced because of these layoffs, even though we do also have that impact on the restructuring another line? And I think there's a reasonable possibility that that is something that is affecting it. Maybe again, Tesla will share a little bit more on that in the call. They could say it's, you know, $100 million impact or something like that. Who knows? Without being in Tesla, I don't know that anyone would have any way to figure that out. And thank you, John. Appreciate that. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. We've got about 30 minutes to the earnings call, so I got to just do a little bit of last minute setup there, and then I'll see you over there. Again, the link for that is down in the description, but thanks for spending some time here, and good to be back for a bit here. All right, thank you.